Gracefully and Frankly is made possible by Sierracil, the joint pain relief with two U.S. patents. It's a Canadian-founded, safe, and effective way to support joint health and function. And it's so effective, it comes with a money-back guarantee. My hockey husband Rob and I have been taking it for years.
Find them at sierracil.com. Sierra like the mountains and Sil like silicon.com. Get 10% off your order with the code GF.
Episode 61, and we have so much from hearing aids to dementia to Lisa helping us out in the big box shopping.
Well, I don't even have a Costco membership.
Well, sometimes it takes somebody looking from the sidelines to see things a little more clearly.
I suppose so.
We appreciate it. And we're also going to talk about, Lisa wanted an Erin Brockovich moment, but she didn't exactly get one. Parking ticket woes. See, anytime we travel, Lisa, we should just stay home, or better yet, stay in bed with your Envy Pillow.
It's always comfortable and cozy in bed with the Envy Pillow. You know, last episode, we asked Gracefully and Frankly Facebook fans to leave us reviews. Well, I made it a point to read reviews about Envy Pillow, and there are just some fantastic success stories about the way the pillow has helped people with their pain. One woman wrote that it has eased her tense, aching neck, and her friends are asking her if she has gotten Botox because her face looks so much more relaxed.
Seriously.
Because she's not smooshing it into her pillow. Now, we know that Envy Pillow is the first certified anti-aging pillow. It's all natural, but you have to see what other people who have used it have to say about it. People are finding a lot of pain relief from their jaw, their neck, their upper shoulders. I certainly am, by using the Envy Pillow. So check them out online.
Go to Envy, E-N-V-Y. Don't accept any cheap imitations. EnvyPillow.com. Use the code GF and get 10% off.
Derek had one of those tests that you have when you're older, you know. I don't know how he's escaped it for so long, but the up periscope, you know?
The old colonoscopy.
Right. And I dropped him off and we can't go into the hospital with him, yada, yada, yada. Time to pick him up. They say to come and just pull up and they'll bring him down. Well, they said 20 to 25 minutes. So I showed up at about 20 and sat there. And it said no idling zone. So I turned my car off. Mm-hmm. And after 25 minutes came and went, I thought, gee, I should go and see what's going on. So I went inside the hospital doors, just in the little waiting area. And finally, they brought him down, came out. Now, when I went in, it was a whole lineup of cars, and I just squeezed in between them. When I came out, I was the only vehicle there.
Uh-huh.
And as I walked my still dopey, slightly medicated husband to the car, I noticed I had a ticket. $50. $50.
Wow.
For parking in a no parking zone.
Oh.
So I was going to fight it because $50, I mean, $50. So I was going to fight it. I got out and I took a picture of the car to show that just the very end of the headlight was in the no parking zone, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I'm going to take these guys on.
Yeah.
And it was pointed out to me that once I left my vehicle and it wasn't on, that's parking.
Ah.
So it's semantics, but that's why they say pull up and we'll bring him out to you. I just didn't know where he was. It was a little bit later. So I learned a $50 lesson this week. Yeah, it's just the way it goes. And I guess people who bring people for cancer treatment and that kind of thing know that you just sit there and idle as long as it takes. You do not get out.
Oh.
I did not know. So $50 later, the lessons learned.
Now you know. Well, I'm sorry you didn't have your moment in court because everything's for the show, Lisa. You know, now that Law and Order has a Toronto version, you could have brought that to your local hospital, but...
Absolutely right. Well, this is a city ticket too, right? I know it's like they lie in wait and just wait for somebody like me to come along. But I will tell you that the one time I did testify in court,
yeah,
I started giving testimony before I was sworn in.
Oh.
So I was so excited. So... I don't know that I'm the best witness. But.
Oh, hey, you know where there's lots of free parking? She said with a clumsy segue. This is why we're professionals. Is Costco. That is the place to park if you want nice wide spots for your car. And of course, it's free until you go in for the two items and come out with 200 of them. But you came up with something that you thought I should know about because Rob and I are Costco card holders and stuff. So enlighten me, darling.
Yeah. I mean, millions are. I'm one of the very few people I know who is not a Costco member anymore. Okay. So this expert talked to one of the New York newspapers and said that there are seven things that you should not buy at Costco because they are not as good of a deal as you can get elsewhere. Most people go for the paper products.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you beeline for when you go into Costco?
Large size cases of soda for company. Always toilet paper.
Yep.
Flowers. Their bouquets are about a third the price of florists. And I'm sorry if we have local florists listening. We do patronize local florists too. And their chickens cannot be beat
right
for the price and the size. Although the Canadian ones have gotten smaller, the American ones are still abnormally large. And I know it's all wrong.
Yeah, they might not be for much longer because there's a big lawsuit about that. And that may be why the Canadian ones are smaller now. But anyway, let's not get into those details because they're unpleasant. So here are the seven things that this expert says you should not buy when you're in Costco. I mean, it's so tempting to pick things up.
I'm writing them down, Lisa. Tell me.
Okay, milk, apparently, is a better deal at your grocery store, by and large.
That's the kind I get, you know, half and half or by and large. Thank you. All right.
Well, you're going to have to find out for yourself whether this is actually accurate.
Of course.
Because, you know, it may not be in every case. Sandwich bread, they say. If you buy the double pack of bread, you're paying a lot more than you would at a grocery store.
Okay.
Bag salad kits. Now, I don't buy those anymore. Do you?
I don't. I just make my own Caesar salads all the time.
Yeah, me too. The trouble is that they go bad so quickly.
Yes.
Chicken that's not a roasted chicken, raw chicken. They say there are some meat buys that are worth it, but the chicken parts is usually more expensive. You can get them a lot cheaper at, again, supermarkets and buy them in bulk and wait for a sale and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Okay.
Herbs and spices.
Oh.
Dried herbs and spices, because they'll sell them to you in a wine barrel.
Yep.
And you can't possibly get to them before they're stale.
Okay. The mixed spices like taco seasoning and that sort of thing tend to be worth it for us, but I totally get you about, yeah, here's some oregano that I'm going to will to my grandkids. Right. Yep.
Exactly. And everybody gets one bay leaf.
Yeah.
Canned soup. This person is saying that it's better to stock up when it goes on sale at the supermarket than get it at Costco because, you know, you were paying sometimes a little under $2 a can, but they can go like 3 for $5. Bulk buys at one of my grocery stores is really good, but you have to kind of wait until they go on sale.
Okay.
And cereal is the last one.
Really? Because they sell those ginormous boxes that never fit in your cupboard. You have to open
right.
it and take out a bag and then hope that the bag stays fresh until you're done with it.
That's right. So there are just like 3 cereal makers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So if one flavor goes on sale, usually they all do. So again, it's one of those things where you ought to check for yourself and make sure that your grocery store isn't offering you a better deal. But it's so tempting. I mean, I went to Costco maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago with my neighbor and I hadn't been in years. I just, honestly, I don't do it mostly because I don't like the experience. But I ended up buying more than she did.
Yeah. Plus a mattress and an iPad.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it can be tempting. I will tell you one thing that we know from experience that is a good price or value at Costco. And there are some things you just go there for, like for some people, it's prescription glasses and that sort of thing. So this doesn't cover everything when we're saying some things are more expensive at Costco, but hearing aid batteries. Back when Rob's hearing aids were not recharging, the batteries there were a really good price. So
you don't want to go to a drugstore for those. They're hugely overpriced at drugstores.
And hearing aid batteries and the prices of those, along with the prices of the equipment, are only one of the reasons why people are so reluctant to wear hearing aids. We've been doing a little bit of delving into this because it ties in with dementia. And we'll tell you about that coming up in just a few moments. But what do you think, Lisa, are some of the main reasons why people who need them don't wear hearing aids?
Vanity. I think that's one of the main ones because I needed hearing aids in my 40s. I got it because I kind of had to. I couldn't rest on vanity or anything. I was working with a couple of 20-something women and I couldn't hear them. Mm. They had soft voices, you know, and I was really feeling terrible about always saying, could you repeat that, please? Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a choice when my hearing started to go. But I do know that I've probably convinced a dozen people over the years to get them because they just say, oh, I'm too young. I shouldn't need them yet. And it's like, well, yeah, you do. And you won't believe how it opens up your life. And I do think that because hearing loss is gradual, you don't always notice what you've lost, the sound of birds or a whole range of sound. I can't hear my cat with my hearing aids out.
Hmm.
I know he's talking to me because I see his mouth move.
Wow.
But when my hearing aids are in, I mean, I hear him loud and clear. All these things that you miss that you don't even know. So I think it's just some people, due to headphones and all sorts of other sound devices, we're losing our hearing younger and younger, and we still associate with an old person.
I was watching this rerun of the old Frasier the other day, and I heard this, and I thought, okay, this is perfect. It's Daphne and Martin Crane having an exchange about hearing aids.
That does it. You get to get hearing aid whether you like it or not.
I don't need a hearing aid. My hearing will be back to normal in no time.
You said that 2 days ago. Soon you won't be able to hear a word I say.
Gee, wouldn't that be a tragedy?
Part of it, I think sometimes spouses don't want to hear what the other half has to say, or in this case, Martin and his caregiver.
Well, there are some upsides to having hearing loss that people don't think about. Like, for example, we have been places where it's been too noisy for Derek to sleep and I'm out like a light because mm-hmm. I can't hear a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or I'll say to him, you know, I'm going to have a couple of hours where I take my ears out. That's how I put it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have a couple of silent hours. I need my ears to rest and just walk around and hear nothing.
Huh. It must be nice for writing. For when you want to be totally in your head and not hear all the extraneous sounds or NASCAR coming from upstairs or whatever like that.
Exactly, because where I write most of the time is just down the hall from where NASCAR will be zooming past. And it is nice to just tune it out. You know, I mean, I would rather have perfect hearing, but you got to make the best of what you're dealt. So.
Well, that's it. And some of the other excuses that people come up with, it's not my hearing, it's your talking. Okay. Mm. It's not me. You're mumbling. Or people say I can hear just fine because usually it does start gradually. You're right. You said that. And yeah. Mostly as we age, we embrace the change and think there's nothing wrong with not being able to hear properly. It's just something that happens. And it's usually the people around us who will say, hey, you got something wrong. Another thing is, oh, my friend has them and can't stand his. Well, yeah, we hear so many people who say that they're uncomfortable or they're this or they're that. But everybody has different experiences. And if you've got something wrong with your hearing aids, get them checked, get them fixed, get them righted so that you can have a proper fitting and setting.
My audiologist can do that in about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a big hairy deal.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with that completely.
Did you have to say hairy when we're talking about ears? Oh, my goodness. What audiologists must see in there. Woo, bring the pith helmet. People think they are complicated to use. And yes, there's a lot of electronics involved and you can now get them to, like Rob, I love this. He hooks his hearing aids up to the TV. So he is hearing the hockey game. Hockey game's on TV and I'm sitting there merrily editing away on my laptop and I can look up and see the game and I don't need to hear all the excited yelling.
Right. And take phone calls through your hearing aids, or there's so many other things that you can do. I actually clawed back on the number of doodads in my most recent pair But, I mean, they can just enhance every aspect of your life.
Well, this is another point that people have. It'll be difficult talking on the phone, and you have just addressed that. The latest hearing aids have been made to make phone conversations comfortable. Rob's, when his phone rings, it automatically answers in his hearing aids. So that took some adjustment. And then, of course, what will people think of me at work? And I'll look old wearing them. That's where the stigma has to end, because my husband also started wearing them at a young age because he blew them out while DJing and listening to cassettes screeching by like the chipmunks on speed and just blew out his hearing. Plus, there's tinnitus, whatever you call it, in his family. So,
yeah.
And the expense, let's not leave that out. These things, oh,
they are expensive. But if you are, for example, still working for a company with medical benefits and on the verge of retiring or something, get them before you leave. Because I didn't have benefits for mine, and the Ontario government will, I think they pay $1,000 an ear. I could be wrong on that, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still several thousand dollars to get. And back to Costco, there are a lot of people that just go and grab one for whatever it is, $1,000, $1,200 or something for the one ear that's problematic and just increase the volume. So no judgment there. That's the thing, not being able to talk in crowds or to hear in crowds and thinking everybody's mumbling. All of a sudden, everybody on television on every channel is mumbling. I don't know how that happens.
Right. Well, my dad, as you know, is in, I won't say late stage dementia, but certainly advanced dementia. And most of the time, he just doesn't bother putting them in. And when I'm visiting and he's got the TV on, and of course, it's on a news channel, unless we can pry the remote from his hands. Thank God they don't get Fox, is all I can say. But anyway, he just doesn't bother wearing them. And so I'll say, Dad, where are your hearing aids? What? And he does that as a joke with me. And I'll say, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm not going to talk with you unless you put in your hearing aids. And so then he goes, he digs them out from his charger or from his pockets. They're everywhere, and puts them in. And of course, he needed them because he blew his hearing out while living with five women, my mom and four daughters, but also because, of course, jet engines in his Air Force years. And he did get some compensation from the Canadian government for that. But dementia and hearing aid use are linked. Simply putting on hearing aids could be a lifesaver. There's new research that shows U.S. adults with hearing loss who regularly wear their hearing aids have a significantly lower risk of dying earlier than those who never wear them.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it is incredible. And I wonder if that has something to do with the social aspect of life as one of the ways to sort of stave off dementia, staying socially active, because you do withdraw when you can't hear. I know I did. You stop conversing with people. I mean, I can think of a couple conversations where I misheard people and had a ridiculous response and stuff. And you do start withdrawing. You lose a bit of your confidence. I wonder if that's part of it or if it's more than that.
Well, you're right, because study results showed that untreated hearing loss is associated with a shorter lifespan and a higher risk for disorders such as depression, because you're self-isolating, and dementia. And it may be because hearing loss can cause people to become more socially isolated, just like you. Like Rob just hates going to big groups and stuff where everybody's talking because he just can't get it.
Yeah.
And your brain is getting this garbled auditory signal. So wear your hearing aids at least once a week, they recommend. And you know what? If your spouse feels like you're nagging them to wear them, it's because you love them and want them around longer. It's not like you're trying to make their life miserable or want to turn down the TV or anything.
Yeah. And remember, they're just aids. They don't cure your hearing loss. I still have some issues in crowded rooms. Like the other night, it was all women, hundreds of women at this place. So you can imagine how loud it was.
You went to a comedy show.
Yeah, a comedy show in Port Stanley, which is amazing. Elvira Kurt and a bunch of others. It was just fantastic. But it was so loud in the lobby and before the show started. But there are settings on my hearing aids that my audiologist and I worked on. One of them's for recorded music. One of them's for being in a restaurant. And I actually have an app where if it's a restaurant, let's say it's a round table and there are three of us and one seat is empty, I can tell my hearing aid, don't bother listening there.
Oh.
And yeah, it's pretty cool. And then I have another setting specifically for when I'm recording voiceovers so that my hearing aids don't whistle when I have my headphones on. And then I can listen back to it more or less the way other people would hear it. So there's all sorts of ways they can be adjusted. They have the technology. They can rebuild your ears.
Okay, now we got to get a hearing aid sponsor. Preferably yours, because you believe in them just like we do with Sierra Sil and Envy Pillow.
Right. I love these hearing aids as much as one can love hearing aids, you know?
How much did they cost, Lisa?
Well, I went down in my doodads and bells and whistles from my previous pair. So after the government rebate, they were $3,600, I think. So they would have been $5,600, but my previous ones I paid maybe close to double. But I also went to a little mom and pop shop for my hearing aids, regional local audiologist. And so the woman doesn't live far from me and the office is 10 minutes away. And
that matters.
Yeah, well, it matters to me.
Because you are more than just a pair of ears. You are somebody she knows and might meet in the IGA or whatever.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
And tax write-offs. Can you write them off on your income tax at the end of the year?
Oh.
Well, you can. You need it for your voice work. But can the average person who doesn't have your gifts and talents?
Well, I don't know. I know that I give all of my medical stuff to our accountant because we don't have any medical coverage.
Yeah, me too.
So it's all considered under medical. So yeah, my hearing aids did me a solid last year. Thanks, hearing aids, on my taxes.
Were those the ones that you ruined when you went into the pool in Hawaii with them in?
Yes. And that was funny because I went in, I didn't go under the water, but I got them wet. Mm-hmm. And you came running with a towel. I was like, I'll save you, Nell. And took them away and dried them off for me. But one of them started failing when I got home.
Oh.
The lucky thing was they were still under warranty.
Ah, good.
So it didn't really matter what happened. Now they're not under warranty anymore. So I have to be super careful with them now. But they were still under warranty. We sent that one back and I was kind of like, well, and the word came back. Well, apparently you got it wet, but they gave you a whole new hearing aid.
Oh, so thank goodness. Nice. I was ready to put your whole head in a bag of rice. The old iPhone hack. Oh, good. You wrote a beautiful piece on dementia this past week in your blog at voiceoflisabrandt.com. And of course, you can find that at our Gracefully and Frankly Facebook page, where Lisa has also done a beautiful little video on how to rate and review Gracefully and Frankly. Thank you. Well done.
Well, thank you for that. We more than tripled our reviews on the Facebook page and so grateful for them. People have written such wonderful things and it's just very nice.
Yes, please do go ahead and do that. Leave a review. Make us blush. We don't mind. But back to your blog piece. Can you talk a bit about that and what sort of inspired you to write about it?
Yeah. One of the things I'd read in this article, the latest sort of medical thought about what staves off dementia, it had one aspect that kind of made me go, I haven't been really good at this over the years. So the things that you should be doing, there are six of them. Exercise of some form, get good sleep, eat a healthy diet, really cut down or limit the booze, really work on keeping your stress low.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. See, none of us is perfect, though, Erin. It just doesn't mean we're going to go, oh, no, it's us. But
yeah.
Socialization was the one that got to me because especially during my morning radio years, I was living in Burlington and driving into Toronto for a while. It wasn't like I was in the city. And I used my hours as an excuse all the time to not socialize, especially if it was a group of women. Groups of women scare me like other people are scared by a pack of wild coyotes. So
let's delve into that with a therapist.
Yeah, it's not that bad, but I have had issues with it. Just the clicky kind of chatter stuff. Anyway, It's one of my things. So socialization wasn't always something that I paid a lot of attention to, and I'm trying to do more now. That was the one that surprised me, and that was one of the reasons I wanted to write about it. But I wanted to write about it to share those things, because it just seems like it's sensible, and most of it is doable for most of us.
Yeah. And of course, it only takes close experience with one person who has dementia to make you go, oh no, oh no, is this dementia? Did I forget this? Did I do that? And we're seeing that so much in talk of the U.S. election and the two main candidates. When you forget something, is it dementia, or did you just forget something, or have you put it away? You know, that sort of thing. So it's very much in the spotlight and being thrown around like a cudgel, when really it is something that concerns all of us. But I've got your little list of things. So
yeah,
milk, sandwich, bread, bagged salad. Oh, damn it. Wrong list.
And I don't get enough exercise. That is the absolute truth. And right now my excuse, and it's a valid one, is that vertigo that I experienced has kind of come back a little bit in waves. And so I'm kind of tippy. But, you know, exercise doesn't have to be going to the gym and working out for an hour and a half. It can be going for a walk, right?
Yep. Just get off your butt.
Yep.
Well, as we wrap up this week, my dad goes to this class sort of thing. It's a community center, and it's really Leslie's break for a couple of hours each week. She actually has him going twice a week. And last week, on Valentine's Day morning, Dad comes out of his room with his walker, and while he's in the bathroom, Leslie notices this red envelope in the walker. Mm. And she thinks, oh, okay, it must be something he made at his group yesterday. So she opened it up, and on the outside, in sort of cursive, it said Maureen, which was my mom's name, been gone 12 years. And he misspelled it. He spelled it with two R's in the middle instead of two E's, which I thought was interesting. And then you open it up, and the print inside said, "We are a love story." And he wrote, "I love you, Maureen."
Oh.
And then, "Love, Dawn." And so when Leslie sent pictures of this, it was a teary moment, because in Dad's heart, she is still so very much alive.
Right.
And it just shows you that no matter what, no matter how far away from you they seem, they're still holding in their hearts the people and the things and the memories and the experiences that meant the most to them. So it's bittersweet. It's so bitter, but it's so beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Oh,
yeah. It's kind of one of those notebook moments, eh?
Really is. Yeah. He's got moments of lucidity, right? And obviously your mom is imprinted on his heart forever.
Absolutely. And here's to those who care for our dementia patients, for our loved ones, because they're not just patients. They're the people who raised us and, well, made us who we are today, Lisa, for better or for worse.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah. They say they're proud, so that's all that matters.
Well, listen, my girl, you have a good week. Next time we talk, I think it's going to be a leap day. Should we go ahead and do one anyway, our show number 62?
Yes, please. It's my nephew's birthday. He's so excited. He finally gets one.
Ah!
Let's do it for
sure. Yeah, and my uncle is turning 18, but of course he's into his 70s now, so it's a wild thing, leap day babies.
That's awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you to Envy Pillow and Sierra Sill. And thank you to you, Lisa, for all of your insight and just this time with us together. Thanks.
I love it. Thank you too, Erin. And thanks for doing all the heavy lifting on this program.
And to you for listening. We'll talk to you next time.